Good morning. It's very warm up here. So I wonder how the worship team does it. But good job, good job. I'm going to be very short and straight to the point. So probably 10 minutes from now, if I'm done, do not worry. The message would have hit home. We've been going through the book of Jonah, and it's been a month whereby we're looking at the book of Jonah, trying to figure out what is the book about. And I'm sure you've read the book of Jonah a number of times, that probably at some point you are kind of bored and just waiting for the book of Jonah to be over. If that is you, you're in luck. We're finishing the book of Jonah today. But some of the things that just came out for me personally out of the book of Jonah is Jonah received an assignment, and how it relates to us is that God calls us all to a particular assignment. And the second thing is that God redeems our not-so-fine moments, our weaknesses and our failures for his own glory, that we saw when he interacted with the shipmates in chapter 1. But we also saw that God gives us a particular message, and the message is a message of grace. And today we're going to continue with chapter 4 of Jonah, and probably just read, I'm going to read through it and try and figure out what are some of the things that are coming out of the book of Jonah and how it relates to us. So allow me to read. Chapter 4 from verse 1, I will read from the NASB. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." The Lord said, "Do you have good reason to be angry?" And that's an interesting portion. And finally, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, and he ran the opposite way, and God caused a storm in the ocean where, in the ship where he was thrown overboard, he was swallowed by a big fish, and the fish kind of vomited him, and he finally agrees to go to Nineveh, and he proclaims the message. And the people of Nineveh repent. And when they repent, God had mercy on them. But Jonah got very angry about it. He was displeased. The literal translation from Hebrew would be, and it was greatly evil to Jonah what God had done. And one of the funny things is, through the book of Jonah, the word that is used for the Ninevites, the evil that they have done, their evil before God's sight, is the same word used Jonah uses, that it was greatly evil before him. That it was great evil before him. That what God had done was great evil before him. And he was very mad about it. And I wonder, have you ever been mad to God, at God rather? Have you ever been mad at God about something? What was it? Why were you mad at God for it? Or let me say, have you ever been mad at someone, anyone? Probably you have, right? Why were you mad at that person? Why? Most of the time it's because we feel the other person never really saw things our way. that the other person didn't really see the sacrifice we were making, that the other person didn't really value what we were trying to achieve. We tend to get mad at people because we feel they don't get what we are trying to do or what we are for, because we think they are wrong. And sometimes my wife will get mad at me because I am not seeing things the way she is seeing things. She wants to go out because it's a very sunny, lovely day. And I am like, I don't want to go out. I just want to stay home. And she'll be mad. Why don't you want to go out? It's a fine day. And we came to realize, a couple of guys I was talking to, we came to realize that if you grew up in a third world country that has good weather 24/7, 365, then every day is a good day, and probably that's why I don't want to go out. But back to Jonah. Jonah was greatly displeased by God because in Jonah's eyes, God did a very evil thing to forgive the Ninevites. So it made me ask, why did Jonah see the Ninevites like that? And if you read history and biblical history, you'll find out that the Ninevites were very not nice. They were a rowdy bunch that to take over, they would basically make points of, if they came to a city and they would ask you to surrender, if you refused to surrender, they would make a point of you. Not only would they take over, but they will hang you on wooden pieces outside the city just to make a point, so that the next group of people who hear of them coming would surrender. So they would do things just to make a point. And for Jonah, God forgiving such a group was wrong to him. In Jonah's eyes, the Ninevites did not deserve to be forgiven because of what they had done in the past. And probably if they are forgiven and God doesn't destroy them, of what they might do in the future. So I kind of started thinking, how would this relate to us here and now? When you think about your own history, when you think about the world history, is there a group of people or an individual person that you would have a hard time if God was to forgive them? Is there an individual, a group of people that if God was to forgive them, you'd have a hard time? I usually think that some people deserve a special place in hell when it's very hot and, you know, humid, if that makes sense, hot and humid. Probably in my book, for example, Hitler deserves a special place in hell, in my book. You know, people who lead others to commit such genocides deserve a very special place in hell, in my book. As in, if you don't agree with me, I think you deserve a very special place in hell. No, I'm kidding about that. But when you think about just world history and what you go through in everyday life, it kind of gives you a picture of where Jonah was, that the Ninevites were cruel during that time, that to him it made absolutely no sense for God to forgive them. It made no sense that he told God, you know what, just kill me. I don't want to live anymore. Just take my life. And to me, that's very harsh. But also that passage reveals a certain reason why Jonah ran in the first place. We finally get to see why Jonah ran, and he said, "Is this not what I said when I was still in my own home? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in love, and one who relents concerning calamity." Some of us grew up with the image that God is like a policeman with a big stick, waiting for you to do something wrong so that he can smack the life out of you. Here, you don't really fear policemen. Back at home, we fear cops. Because cops can really mess you up back at home. And so that's the image we grew up with, that, you know, God is a police officer with a big stick ready to smack you if you do something wrong. But Jonah knew different. Jonah knew God as a very compassionate being. And he doesn't go out smacking people. God is waiting for a reason not to bring calamity. From this passage, that excerpt, we see that God is just chilling, waiting for you to repent so that he can forgive you. He's looking for a reason to be good to you. And that's what Jonah was afraid of. He basically is telling God, "God, you're too good. You're too nice. You don't give people what they deserve. You just wait until they whimper about telling you sorry and you jump at the opportunity to forgive them." I'm just thinking, if I was Jonah, probably that's what I would tell God. I would have tried and played reverse psychology with God. I would probably have gone, "Are you really that powerful? You know, can you really show us, you know, just smite them a little bit. Just let us know if you really have the power, you know. Instead of forgiving them, just wipe them out. You know, you can start with a new race. Just wipe these guys out." To Jonah, God was too nice. God was too forgiving. And it's made me think of questions or statements that people say when they read the Old Testament, that "I can't believe in a God who punishes people or does things. Those people haven't read this part of Jonah." Because it shows God as one who's very willing to forgive you and me if we ask for forgiveness. It's not a God who's looking around to punish us. It's a God who's looking for opportunity to forgive us. And God asks Jonah, "Do you have a good reason to be angry?" And Jonah doesn't even answer that question. He simply walks away. The book of Jonah reminds me that God deals with the process. It's not an end thing. It's about the process. God is walking us through a process. And as we were singing the song, "Knowing You, Jesus, Knowing You, There Is No Greater Thing," I was just remembering Jonah knew God, but still he seems to be walking away from what God is asking him to do. One of the funny things about the book of Jonah, the prophet who is supposed to speak for God, who is supposed to have a very close relationship with God, is the only person who does not respond to God in the book of Jonah. Jonah is the only person who doesn't. Everything else and everyone else responds to God. The storm responds to God. The ship crewmates respond to God. The fish responds to God. The Ninevites respond to God. But Jonah does not respond to God. And it makes me wonder. I thought knowing God was enough, but this raises a big question in my head. I can know God, I can know God and be very sure of his actions to the point that I'm running away because I know he's going to forgive the people. That's what Jonah was doing. Jonah took God to the bank. He knew God enough. He knew that God is merciful enough that he can run away. That's how much he knew God. He knew God's character. But he's still running away. So it makes me ask the question, is knowing God enough? Can I know God but still find myself going astray from him? Can I believe God but still find myself going the other way? And this part reminds me, it's not about knowledge. It's not about just knowing God. Verse 5, then Jonah went from the city and sat east of it. Then he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from the discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. So Jonah is a funny character. He runs away because he knows God will forgive them. But then after he's seen the people of Nineveh repenting, he decides to go and sit and wait. He's waiting to see if God will actually destroy the Ninevites. And I find that really funny. Wait, you just said that you knew God was very, you know, kind of consistent in forgiving. Why are you waiting? Jonah is hoping against hope that punishment will come upon the Ninevites. And you see God's grace in that he's doing the wrong thing by going and waiting. And the sun is hot, but God still provides a plant to shade him. And Jonah is happy about the plant. He's happy about being provided shade. As he's doing something that he knows probably won't happen. He's hoping against hope. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day. And it attacked the plant and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind. And the sun beat down on Jonah. On Jonah's head, so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." For me, Jonah begging for death doesn't stand out to me. Because most often when we are facing very difficult circumstances, we might beg for death because you just want that to move on. You want that portion to be over. And that was what was happening to Jonah. He was having a very difficult time physically with the sun being on his head. And the funny thing is the east wind that he was facing wasn't very different from the east wind that he probably faced when he was in back at home. Because the climate is kind of similar. But the funny thing is that God provides a plant. Why does God provide a plant? He knows why Jonah is there. He knows Jonah is not responding the way he would like Jonah to do. But it still shows more of God's character that God is still merciful even when we are resisting him. Even when we are running away, God still pours out his mercy and grace upon us. Verse 9, then God said to Jonah, Do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? The first question was just, do you have a good reason to be angry? But now God is being specific. Do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? Then Jonah said, I have a good reason to be angry, even to death. And it reminds me of the many times that I wanted God to do something, and when he didn't really do it, I got angry at him. I got angry at God because I wanted things to be done my way. Because I felt that God's way was either too slow or too inadequate. I got angry at God because I felt that my plan was probably better than God's plan. And that's where Jonah is. Jonah is angry at God because, one, God provided a plant that gave him shade, but now God had allowed the plant to die by providing the worm, probably. Even the worm responded to God. But Jonah still is having a difficult time. Jonah still is not getting it. And I feel sometimes I am at that place. Very often I forget what the intent is. Very often I forget that it's not about going to heaven. If life was about going to heaven, the moment you give your life to Christ, you would disappear and find yourself in heaven. It's not about that. Is it just about knowing God? I think it's not just about knowing God. I think there is more to it than that. Because Jonah knew God, but he's still running away. So what is it about? What is God calling us to? When everything is said and done, why are we here? Why did God place you where he placed you? Why has God allowed you to go through the experiences that you've gone through? What is God trying to do in you and through you? The moment we forget that this all is a process, is the moment we'll start focusing on different things than God would have us focus on. You see, Jonah was so focused on his own emotions. Jonah was so focused on what he wanted to happen. He was focused on the hurt that the Ninevites had caused upon his people. That when God was asking him to do something, he refused. Because to Jonah, he never really let go of what the Ninevites had done and would do. The book of Jonah allows me to see that God is taking me through a process. And just because he has called me, it doesn't mean I am perfect. That even as I struggle through things, that God is there with me. As we see God being there with Jonah throughout this whole process, and even throughout this chapter, God has been there with Jonah. Even when Jonah is angry at God, even when Jonah has understood what God is truly about, but decides not to accept God as he is, God is still there. And God is still with me even through the hard times of me trying to process things. Even through the moments whereby I do not agree with what he is doing. God is still there. But the one thing that God, that Jonah never gets is this. Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who know not the difference between their right hand and left hand, as well as many animals?" Jonah never understood that to God, because he created everything and everyone, he cares for everything and everyone the same way. You see, Jonah came from a culture that from the time of Abraham, they were a chosen people. And through the generations, they've been told that you are special because God has chosen you. And that sunk in for them. And they start seeing themselves as this chosen people, a special people. And they started looking down on the rest of the people around them. And they didn't see the other people around them as equal and as deserving of God's grace and mercy. And some of the times, we, you, I, do the same thing. We think because we have experienced God's mercy, then we are better. We think because I do not struggle with pornography, I am better than the other guy. We think because I don't struggle with alcoholism, I am better than the other guy. We think because I don't steal, then my white lie is really not as bad. We think because I don't kill, I'm not a murderer, then I'm definitely better than the next guy. As Christians, we think we are better than the other people, than the transgenders, than the homosexuals. And that's why sometimes we don't want to associate with them. Sometimes we come and form our own group of people whereby everyone next to us is a Christian, everyone is a Baptist, not the Pentecostals, just everyone is a Baptist. And everyone amongst us believes the same thing as us. Because the moment I start associating with a homosexual or the transgender, I will be less because I am chosen. The truth of the matter, Jonah, who was called, who had a relationship with God, at this point, at this moment, was not where God wanted him to be. He was very close to losing what God has in store for him. Because God called him to a relationship. But even as the relationship is, God was working in him as much as he was working through him. And because Jonah thought of himself better, he didn't want to associate with the Ninevites. He didn't see them as worthy of receiving God's grace and mercy. And the moment we stop looking at ourselves as sinners, the moment we stop seeing ourselves as truly as we are, as people who have been forgiven by grace, as people who can never earn God's mercy, we won't be as willing to go out and share the good news. You see, God loved us while we were still sinners. And God wants us to love others while they're still sinners. That's what God is calling us to love others while they're still sinners. The book of Jonah ends without knowing what Jonah's response is. But I was telling my wife, one of the funny things for me about the book of Jonah is the end whereby God says there are 120,000 people who don't know their right and their left, as much as many animals. I grew up not paying attention to animals, as much of you pay attention to animals. I grew up without a pet. The only pet I had were rabbits, and I kept them because I was going to eat them. So for me to hear that God cares about the animals is God telling me it's not just about you, but also the responsibility you have on the earth to take care of the earth, of the animals. He cares about them too. And I try and care about animals. I don't think I'll ever have a pet in my house, but people think my daughter will prove me wrong. But it shows that God's mercy extends beyond the human beings to nature itself. And God wants us to care for the human beings and care for nature too. But my challenge to us is this. If you are to go out and meet people who are not the same as you, who don't believe as you believe, who hold probably different values than you do, would you welcome in? Would you welcome them to be part of God's family? One of the things that I keep asking myself and I keep asking God to help me is, if a transgender person walked into church and told me, I want to get saved, and I tell them, all you have to do is talk to God about it, give your life over to God, accept what He has for you, and they do that, after that point, how much would I be willing to accept them as they are, or would I start preaching and pushing them to change? It's very easy when you're in church to accept people that are the same as you are, who believe the same things. What about accepting people who outwardly are not embracing the same things? God is calling us to go to a people who probably don't look or accept the same values we have. And it's very easy for us to reach out to them and lose ourselves in the process. And that's what was happening to Jonah. And after reading this, it makes sense to me why Paul said, lest after preaching to them, I lose my salvation. because Paul understood that it's a process. It's not just about doing, but it's about God changing me as he works through me. What would be one thing that you'd find difficult about sharing the gospel to people who don't believe the same thing or they're different than you, who have had a sex change, who are living a different lifestyle than you? What will be different? What will be challenging about it? What would you struggle with? I would struggle with telling someone like that not to change, not to live that lifestyle. Because I was brought up in a culture that some things are not mentioned. It's a taboo. So often I tell God, work in my heart, work in my life, that should you bring someone who's very different, I will be accepting of them. But more so that, should I accept them, I should treat them the same, whether you're there or not. Because some of the times as pastors, we fear the congregation and we want to embrace someone, but we're like, wait, what will the congregation feel and treat me if I embrace this person? So I ask God to work in my heart to reach people who are very different with the same love that he reached out to me with, and to accept them as they are, and to love them as God would love us. Back to Jonah. God, throughout the whole process of the book of Jonah, we see that God is working in Jonah's heart. God is trying to reason with Jonah. God is trying to get Jonah to see things from his perspective. And he uses the plant to try and get Jonah to see things differently. Because Jonah enjoyed the plant and he was very angry when the plant was withered. And God said, you had nothing to do with that. I created everything. How much more should I care about those that I created, those that I fashioned? The book of Jonah is not about Jonah. The book of Jonah is about God and God's character, God's attitude towards us. And a reminder that God is calling us to love others just as he has loved us. To embrace others as he has embraced us. To be willing to go out and share his love as he had shared it with us. So as we end service, as you go out during your week, what is the one thing that you would struggle with? What is the one thing that is holding you back, that you can end up knowing God, but still you're finding it difficult to let go? For Jonah, it was the Ninevites. He hated the Ninevites. What is yours? For me, is I ask God, please do not bring a transgender person my way if you have not worked in my heart quick and well enough for me to respond in love. Because I wouldn't want to hurt them. That's the truth of the matter. I wouldn't want to be that guy who made them think wrong about a God who loved them enough and died for them. So I usually ask God to work in me that should he bring, I will be ready. And he has been working in my heart. What does God need to work in your heart? That you would be willing and ready to share the same love with others. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you loved us and you love us. And through the book of Jonah, we see that through our struggles, that you're working in us and through us to bring us to that point that we can see things the way you see them, that we may do as you say. Lord, many of us might not experience the storm at sea, being swallowed by a fish, or the other events that Jonah experienced, the turning around of a whole city. But Lord, we ask that as you work in us, as you work through us, remind us of the love that you want us to share. May that be clearly before us, that as we go out, we will share that love, that we won't let our hatred hinder us from sharing that love, that we will not run away like Jonah did. That, Lord, even as we struggle, that you are willing to walk with us through the struggle, as you're walking with Jonah through it, as you're trying to enlighten Jonah to your position and your view of the Ninevites. Help us see your people through your eyes, that we may love them as you'd want us to. So, Lord, we commit the rest of the day to you. May your truth come alive in our hearts the rest of the week, Lord. And even the rest of this missionary journey, that we may see as you see and do as you say, for the honor and glory of your name. Amen.